What is going on? Thank you so much for joining the J Makwapa podcast. This is the fuel to your faith and the death to your doubt. I hope you enjoy this message. Let's get into it.
Public servant of the year. Oh yes!
What is going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining me one more time, another week on the J Makwapa podcast. Shout out to you. If it is your first time listening to the J Makwapa podcast, I need to give you an extra mercy. If it's not your first time and you always are listening, always supporting, I need to give you guys an extra mercy. Thank you so much for listening. You know, every week what I do is I show love to the people who show the podcast love for the first time. If it's the first time I see you showing the podcast love, I need to give you love. So I want to give these people some personalized extra immersives and welcome them to the extra immersive club. All right, so I want to give an extra immersive to Nikki Maketla. Here is your extra immersive. I want to give an extra immersive to Tiffany Jewel Lapidoff. Here is your extra immersive. I want to give an extra immersive to Nolu Mkata. I want to give you an extra immersive, and I want to give a fortunate Masha an extra immersive. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. I appreciate you. I appreciate you just taking the time out to let people know that you're listening and that it is a cool podcast to check out. So God bless you. I am super grateful for you guys. So today we're not going to take too much time. There's nothing else, no announcements I need to make. We're going to get straight into the message. And today's podcast episode is called The Enemy's Hiding Place. Let us pray. We're going to get into it. Let's go. God, I come before you. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your mercy. I pray, God, that you would just use this word to impact us, my God, and to keep our eyes open about the fact that the enemy looks for hiding places in our lives, and that, my God, we need to do what we need to do in order to see victory and in order that your glory, my God, would be seen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. I pray, God, give me grace also to just share this with excellence, my God, and with clarity. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And I said, and we all said, amen and amen. So the title of the message we're going to be going through today is The Enemy's Hiding Place. You know, some people have this conversation and they like to say, oh, there's like this fight between God and the enemy. I want you to know that that is a lie. Like, it's almost like this boxing match between God and the devil. That is almost like an insult to God, because when you compare God and the enemy, it's like comparing an ant to the sun and saying that ant must fight the sun. There is no battle there. There's no contest. But the actual battle that is going on is usually, and it's always, you, us as people, and the enemy. That is where the challenge is. That is where the fight is. It's not between God and the enemy. We fight the enemy with the power of God. But sometimes we fail because we are broken, and because we sometimes are tricked by the enemy, or we believe the enemy, and that's why we get hurt and broken. But the fight is not between God and the enemy. The struggle is not between God and the enemy. God can destroy the enemy. It's between us and the enemy. That is where the tension is. Because when God steps in, let me tell you something. It's like light shining in a room. And what happens to darkness when light shines up in a room? Darkness must flee. Darkness must run away. Darkness must find a what? A hiding place. And it's so important that you know that the enemy looks for hiding places. Now, what are the things about a hiding place? If you don't find the enemy's hiding place, it means the enemy has another day to live. If you don't find the enemy's hiding place, it means he has another day to live. Number two, if you don't find the enemy's hiding place, it means he can regain his strength. Number two. Number three about the enemy's hiding place is, if you don't find it, it means the enemy is protected, because you don't know where it is and you don't know he's hiding there. And this is why it's so important that you know that the enemy has hiding places, the enemy looks for hiding places, and the enemy may be hiding in a place that is close to you. So we're going to go into the book of Judges. This is where we're going to be picking up the passages for this message, where we're going to learn and where we're going to be blessed today. The book of Judges chapter 4. Now, we see God's people in the book of Judges chapter 4. They had what I like to call open door syndrome or open doorism. At some point, they were following God because they saw there were open doors with God. But when they didn't see the open doors with God anymore, they changed direction and started serving other gods. Now, something you must be aware of is every door that opens in your life, it's not necessarily a door of blessing. Let me say that again. Every door that opens in your life is not always a door of blessing. There are some doors that are going to open in your time of need, and what's behind the door is not a blessing, it's not God, but it's curses and it's darkness. Some people can be saying, I'm looking for a relationship. A door can open for a relationship, but you can find if you go into that door, that was a door that the enemy opened. As soon as you step into that door, the enemy will close the door behind you, lock the door, and you'll find yourself in a prison. God's people were in that place too. They had been serving other gods. They thought that this is their opportunity. Now they found themselves under oppression of a king called King Jabin or Jabin. I'm going to pronounce it King Jabin. The king of Canaan who was oppressing them. Now, he was oppressing God's people because God's people forgot God. God's people stopped serving God. I want to let you know that when you stop serving God, you're putting yourself in a position to be oppressed. When you stop serving God, you put yourself in the position to be depressed. When you stop serving God, you put yourself in a position to be oppressed. I'm telling you, you are not putting yourself in a good position. Now, God saw that his people were suffering, and what he did was he raised up a leader called Deborah. God raised up a woman. Now, I want to just take time out to say, you know, there's some movements that are happening right now that it sounds like they are speaking of a revolutionary idea, but the Bible, a book that was written in ancient times, a time when people are saying that women had no voice, the Bible gives us a story in the book of Judges chapter 4 where God raises up a woman who is not just a spiritual leader, she is also a political leader, and she's also a leader in a war. So she is a warrior. She is a great, powerful leader, and God raises up a woman. Please don't believe the lie where people who don't believe the Bible, they question the Bible, and they begin to make up all these false narratives about what the Bible is projecting, all right? The Bible has been speaking about these concepts for many years, but let's put that aside. But what God does is he raises up a leader who is unexpected. Yes, it was a time when men were maybe the leaders or the most dominant people and the people who had the voice. But what God does is he chooses a woman in that time. God uses the unexpected person to lead. I want you to know that God wants to use you to do unexpected things. But don't disqualify yourself because you may be unexpected, because people don't expect it from you. Don't disqualify yourself. Right now, I even believe there are things in your mind that you're not even thinking about because you think, God wouldn't do that through me. But please always be open to God using you. Always stay open to say, God, hey, I may be the unexpected person. And if you are the unexpected person, understand that you are the type of person that God loves using. Now, God didn't just raise up Deborah. He raises up Barack, not Barack Obama, but he raises up a man called Barack. I want us to get three lessons from Barack. Number one, Barack looked for substance and not appearance. When Barack looked for someone who he's going to work with and who is going to be in his life, he looked at Deborah. And so the Deborah is not the usual person. She doesn't look like the normal leader. But what Barack did was he looked for substance and not appearance. Make sure that in your life, when you're looking for a leader, not necessarily a leader, but people to be in your life, don't be moved by appearance, but moved by substance. Number two, what we learn from Barack is Barack understood that he needed to be submitted to leadership. You see, he understood that because he was a leader, he understood the power of leadership. And if you are a leader, you need to understand that you need a leader. Always run away from a leader who doesn't have a leader, because that leader is not going to teach you leadership. That leader is going to teach you rebellion. So he was submitted to Deborah. Number three that we learn from Barak is that he understood that the blessing from his leader is going to come from his commitment to following the leader. A lot of people make the mistake that they think that their leader must come after them. You will make a mistake if you think your leader must come after you and chase after you and be a blessing to you. But what Barak's attitude was he took responsibility to build relationship with Deborah. He took responsibility to say, no, Deborah, I'm going to be where you are. I'm going to follow you. And when he did that, that is when he began to see the blessing of Deborah's life over his life. Now let's pick this up as God is raising up Deborah and Barak to bring victory for God's people. So in Judges chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, it says, Barak said to Deborah, if you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So this is where you're seeing submission. You're seeing that he sees something in Deborah. Number two, he sees the substance in Deborah. He submits to Deborah, but also he makes sure that he takes responsibility to stay connected to his leader. Again, I want to say, make sure if you have a mentor, you have a pastor, you have someone over you, it is your responsibility to maintain the connection. Because when you are maintaining the connection with your leader, your pastor, your mentor, then the blessing over of a leadership or what God wants to bring into your life through that person is going to happen. So he says, hey, Deborah, if you're going to go, I will go. If you're not going to go, I'm not going because I am following you. Those are three lessons. I don't want to go too much into leadership things, but those are three lessons we learned from Barak. But I want to ask you a question right now. Because Deborah says this interesting sentence. She says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Who is Sisera? Sisera was the leader of the army of the enemy. Sisera was the leader of the armies of the enemy. And Deborah and Barak were the leaders of the army of God. Now, what Deborah says to Barak, it says, I will go with you, but the road you're going on is not going to lead to your glory. Because if I go with you, people are going to say that the victory, people are going to give the glory to my name and not to your name. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you want the glory or do you want the victory? Because we live in a generation that is calling people to chase after their glory. But when people are chasing after their glory, they're missing out on their victory. We live in a time where people look successful, but they aren't successful. We live in a time where people look like they're wearing expensive things, but they are not expensive things. We live in a time where people look happy, but they are not happy. Please do not sacrifice your leadership for your glory. Do not sacrifice your victory for glory. Do not let go of victory while you are chasing glory, because too many people are trying to chase glory and they're losing out on their victory. You see, what Barak said was, I don't care about my glory. I want to see victory. Sometimes, guys, when you are going through life and when you want to see victory in your life, it's about giving the glory to someone else. Sometimes it's about saying, hey, let people talk about someone else. I'm not interested in the fame. I'm not interested in the clout. I'm not interested in the reputation. I am interested in the victory. Have your eyes on the victory and not on your glory. Come on. Do you want the glory or do you want the victory? Because the victory often will need you to set aside your glory. And number one, not bringing the glory to yourself, but bringing the glory to God and making sure that, hey, you want victory. The glory can go somewhere else. That's a question you really need to look inside of your heart to see. We really live in a time where people are chasing their glory. But we see in this moment that he was like, nah, I don't want glory. I want victory. I don't care about reputation. I want victory. I don't care about clout. I want victory. Let's rather not put our glory to the side and say, hey, even if someone else is going to shine, even if someone else is going to be known, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the victory. So what God then does As I said before, God steps into the situation. And when God steps into a situation, when the light shines, what did I say? The darkness must look for a place to hide. You see, there was this king, there was this kingdom of the enemy that was oppressing God's people. Now, God moves into the situation and the enemy must run away. Now, here is where we're going to discover the enemy's hiding place. Let's read this in Judges chapter 4, verse 17 to 22, when the enemy is looking for a hiding place. It says, but Sisera fled away on foot because they were losing. God was stepping in. His glory and his power was over Deborah and over Barak, and they were destroying the enemy. God was fighting for his people. God was bringing victory for his people. But let's see when the enemy is running away. So Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael. Now, this is a woman called Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not be afraid. So he turned aside and went to her tent, and she covered him with a rug. Sisera, the leader of the enemies, the leader of the armies of the enemy, said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand by the opening of the tent. If a man comes and asks you, is anyone here? Say no. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak, now Barak, who was the leader of the armies of God, as he was pursuing Sisera, he's looking for Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, come and I will show you the man that you are seeking. So he went into her tent and there laid Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. So Jael is a woman who is in this tent. When the enemy is running away, he's looking for a place to hide. He is looking for a place to hide. Now, let's look at this. How does an enemy find hiding places? How does an enemy find hiding places? The enemy is going to look for places where he will find peace. The scripture says, Sisera fled away on foot and went to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin. There was peace between her husband and the kingdom of the enemy. Jael married a man who had peace with the kingdom of the enemy. Jael had no business dating Heber. Heber had peace with the kingdom of the enemy, all right? Now, Jael had no business dating him. I want to ask you a question. She didn't just date him. She even got married to Heber. I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to spend too much time with this because this is not what this message is about. Make sure that you are not dating someone who the enemy is not nervous about. You see, the enemy is going to hide. When God is moving and when God is showing his glory, the enemy is going to run to a place where he has peace. And if you are dating someone, if you're in a relationship with someone who the enemy is not nervous about, but the enemy knows, hey, this person gives me peace, then the enemy is going to run into your household. The enemy is going to run into your house. The enemy is going to run into your life because you are connected to somebody who is giving the kingdom of the enemy peace. Come on. It's not just someone you're dating though, but it is just in any way, any area or any place in your life that could be giving the enemy peace. It can be in things that your family is allowing. It can be, you know, sometimes your family is allowing certain things that God does not allow. It means that the enemy knows that there's peace. Your family doesn't worry the enemy. Your friend group doesn't worry the enemy. He knows that there's peace. And whenever God moves, you are going to see the enemy move into those places. Come on, come on. I know I'm preaching today. Can somebody say amen? Can someone say amen? So now what do we do? We found out this is how the enemy finds places to hide. He finds his hiding places where there's peace. Come on. You need to make the enemy uncomfortable where you are. You need to, let's say if we're talking about dating, date someone who makes the enemy uncomfortable. Never get into a relationship with somebody who you can see that the enemy is comfortable in the way this person speaks. The enemy can find peace. In the way way this person lives their life, the enemy is going to find peace. In the way this person's convictions, the enemy is going to find peace. Never get close to those people. You can have them in your life, but don't bring them into important places in your life, because that is where the enemy is going to find his hiding place. But even for yourself, make sure that your life is not a life where the enemy is going to find peace, because when he looks for a hiding place, your house is where he's going to come. Jail had no business dating her, but in any case, that's the situation she was in. But as soon as we find out, come on, and this is a prayer you need to pray. God, show me where the enemy's hiding place is in my life. You need to say the prayer. Say, God, show me where the enemy's hiding place is in your life. You need to say that prayer. So when you find that out, we need to pray that prayer. But when we find it out, we're going to learn from Jael, this woman who was in her tent, this woman who God used to destroy the enemy. This is how we are going to overcome the enemy once we found out the hiding place. So point number one, when you find the hiding place of the enemy, it could be in your emotions, it could be in your thoughts, it could be in your family, it could be in friendships, it could be in relationships. Number one, fight where you are strong. Point number one, if you're taking notes, please take notes. When you find the hiding place of the enemy, fight where you are strong. Judges chapter 4 verse 18, Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn to me, do not be afraid." So he turned aside and went into her tent, and she covered him with the rug. What Jael did was she said, she was not in the battlefield with the other warriors. She was not there with the fighters, because she wasn't a fighter and it wasn't her position. Another thing you must know is, don't desire the position of other people. You must know the position that God has given you, and you must be faithful with the position that God has given you. Don't say, hey, I want to be strong where other people are strong. No, realize where you are strong and realize the position that God has given you, because God has given you a place of strength. Jael knew that I'm not strong on the battlefield, but I'm strong in my tent. I'm not strong there where people are fighting and where people have swords, but I am strong in my tent. Your tent could be your talent. Your tent could be a place where you have influence. Your tent could be a place where you just understand certain things in a certain sector of life. And that place, listen, we often hear that you must give God glory with your talent. But I want to bring you this truth today to say, it's not just about giving God glory, but it's also about attacking the enemy in your place of strength. Where you have strength, that is your place of attack. Jael said to the enemy, come like this. Come this, because she was like, I'm not strong there. I'm not strong on the battlefield. I'm not strong where people are killing and people have swords and people are riding on horses. But if the enemy wants to come into my strong place, come this, come here, come to my strong place. And this is where you need to apply what Jael did too. She said, come into my strong place. Don't try to fight where you're not strong. Don't try to act strong where you're not strong. You must ask God, and you must be aware of your talents and whatever you have that's strong, and say, that is where you are not just going to say, I'm giving God glory, but you are going to fight the enemy. That's point number one. Fight where you are strong. Fight where you are strong. Don't just give God glory. Don't just be faithful, but fight the enemy where you are strong. Number two, Judges chapter 4 verse 19, is Jael used a thirst trap. Come on. You need to thirst trap the enemy. She used a thirst trap, not a thirst trap of the world, but she used a thirst trap of the kingdom in Jesus' name. Ladies, we're not doing other, we don't do those thirst traps, ladies, okay? I know there are women of God listening to me. Let us not do the thirst traps of the world. And guys, let us not fall into the thirst traps of the world. You know what I'm talking about when I'm saying thirst traps. Close your eyes and swipe in Jesus' name. Amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get a confirmation, guys? Ladies, you're not doing those worldly thirst traps. And guys, close your eyes and swipe. Close your eyes, swipe. But you use a thirst trap. When you find the the hiding place of the enemy, use a thirst trap. Thirst trap the enemy. Judges chapter 4 verse 19, it says, and he said to her, now the enemy says to Jael, he says, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So what does Jael do? She opened up a skin of milk and gave him to drink to cover him. The enemy asks for water, but Jael gives him milk. The enemy asks for water. What does water do? Water will strengthen the enemy. Water will rehydrate the enemy. Water will make sure that the enemy gets his focus back. But what Jael does is says, no. I'm not going to give you water. I'm going to give you something that's going to make you sleep. I'm going to give you something that's going to take away your strength. Come on. You see, the enemy is going to come into your life, and the enemy is going to ask you for things that's going to make the enemy strong. You see, when you are living in unforgiveness, you're giving the enemy water. When you don't have a prayer life, you're giving the enemy water. When you're not reading the Bible, you're giving the enemy water, and you're strengthening the enemy in your life. When you compromise on your walk with God, when you compromise on your beliefs, you are giving the enemy water, and you're strengthening the plans of the kingdom of the enemy in your life. When you don't have passion to serve God, you are giving the enemy water. You're giving the enemy what he wants. The enemy is thirsty. Come on. God is defeating the enemy. God is destroying the works of the enemy. So when he's coming into your life, he wants you to give him what he needs for him to get strong again. But you need to thirst trap, because the enemy is thirsty. The enemy is thirsty, but you need to make sure you don't give the enemy what the enemy wants. When the enemy is thirsty, when the enemy says, give me water to drink, make sure you give the enemy milk like Jael did. When the enemy says, be unforgiving, forgive. When the enemy says, give me water, what you need to say is, give the enemy a powerful prayer life. Instead of saying you're not going to read God's word, don't compromise and have passion to serve God. The enemy will want things from you. And for some of you listening to me right now, the enemy is already used to getting certain things from your life. The enemy is already used to you having certain behaviors, you having certain patterns in your life. And that's why you've been seeing the enemy win in your life. That's why you've been seeing the presence of the enemy in your life. But you can change it by thirst trapping the enemy and giving him milk instead of giving him water. Give the enemy something that is going to weaken the enemy. Weaken the enemy with your life. Weaken the enemy with prayer. Weaken the enemy by reading God's word. Weaken the enemy by being focused and committed to God, so that you will have victory over the enemy when the enemy is trying to hide in your life. Thirst trap the enemy. But number three is finish him. Number one is you must fight where you are strong. Number two is you must use the thirst trap. And number three is you must finish the enemy. In Judges chapter 4 verse 21, it says, but Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and she drove the peg into his temple. The temple is here on your head. She took a peg and took a hammer and put it here and hit Sisera and killed him. She finished him. And she hit it so hard that the peg went down into the ground while he was lying there asleep, because she gave him milk. Milk made him sleep, and she covered him with a rug. So she made the enemy feel comfortable. Then she killed the enemy, and then the enemy died. Come on, you have to make a decision. When you have realized, when God reveals a place where the enemy is hiding in your life, you need to make a decision to finish the enemy. The enemy has been running away because God is moving. When God's light shines, the enemy must run away. When God shows up, the enemy is afraid. There is no battle that the enemy is trying to take on with God. The devil is not even stupid enough to try and say, I'm going to try punch God, because the enemy knows that with God, when God steps in, he must run away. So when you find out the hiding place of the enemy in your heart, hey, understand this. Come on, guys. I know I'm preaching. I know I'm speaking to you right now. When you realize that the enemy is hiding in your habits, when the enemy is hiding in your relationships, when the enemy is hiding in your friendships, you need to realize that when you see it, you must end it. Finish him. finish him like on Mortal Kombat. Some of you know Mortal Kombat. Some of the real ones are watching me right now. You know Mortal Kombat. You need to finish the enemy. Finish him. This is what Jael did. She brought an end to the enemy. You need to bring an end to relationships that don't bring glory to God. You need to bring an end to habits that do not honor God. You need to bring an end to behaviors that do not honor God. You need to delete some numbers. Can someone say amen? You need to delete some numbers in the name of Jesus. You need to block some numbers or block some things or block some people. You need to finish the enemy when you see the place of hiding in the enemy. But I want to bring another. Can I go a little deeper as I'm bringing this sermon to an end? The Old Testament is always giving us a picture of something that is to come. The Old Testament is always giving us a clue of Jesus. It's always pointing to Jesus and letting you know that, hey, this is just a picture or a preparation of who Jesus is and what Jesus is about to do on earth. So we see what Jael does is she uses a hammer and she uses a nail, she uses a peg to destroy the enemy. Where else do we see that happening? We see that with Jesus on the cross, where they took a hammer and they took a nail and they crucified Jesus, and with a hammer and with the nail through crucifixion, the enemy was defeated, and now we have victory because of what happened on the cross. If you want to have true victory, the victory is going to happen when your life is given to Jesus, when your life is submitted to Jesus, when you repent of your sin and you follow him all the days of your life, when you carry your cross and you follow Jesus. Hey, we see with Jael that she picked up a hammer, she picked up a peg, and she nailed the enemy. She used these tools to destroy the enemy. But we see that through Jesus, and we see that truth through Jesus, the fact that it is on the cross that we have victory. Your victory is with Jesus. Your victory is on the cross. The victory in your family is from the cross. Your victory in your emotions will be in the cross. The victory that will happen in your life and in the life of your family and in South Africa, in your community, in your high school, in your workplace, come on, in your finances, in your university, is all in the cross. It's all in the cross. That is where we finish the enemy. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus was on the cross, it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus said, "It is finished." The battle is over. We have victory in Jesus. So when you see where the enemy is trying to hide, you need to begin to walk in the life that God has called you to walk into. You need to begin to understand that victory is in Jesus, and you need to end it all. You need to bring it to an end because Jesus said it is finished. You need to finish the enemy. I want to say these last things. Number one, we remember when the enemy is looking for a hiding place, he looks for a place where there is peace. Make sure that in your life the enemy has no peace. Make sure that in your words the enemy has no peace. Listen, maybe in your family, you see, Jael was married to a man who had peace with the enemy. Jael was in a family where the family had certain things. I want to say had certain things that they agreed with in the kingdom of the enemy. I want you to know that there are some things in your that your family may agree with that you must disagree with, and God is raising you up to disagree and to change things. But those things is when you find out the place where the enemy is hiding, you fight where you are strong. You use the thirst trap. Don't give the enemy what he wants. Give the enemy what's going to weaken the enemy, and then you finish it. You finish it. I want to say a prayer today. Number one, the prayer we're going to pray is, God, show us where the enemy may be hiding in our lives. But number two, God, help us to fight where we are strong. God, help us also to use the thirst trap to weaken the enemy. But also, God, help us to finish the enemy, to finish the job. Don't have mercy on the enemy, but to finish it. Let us pray. God, I come before you. I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that your word is revealing to us. us where the fact that the enemy has a hiding place, and the fact that the enemy, my God, when you are showing up, the enemy will look for a place to hide. And God, reveal to us where the enemy may be hiding in our lives. I pray, God, for all of us listening to this sermon today, may we make the enemy uncomfortable with our lives. May the enemy be uncomfortable in our families, in our friend groups, in our words, in our thoughts. May he be uncomfortable. But God, once you reveal to us where the enemy is hiding, may we fight in our strong place, where we are strong. I pray, God, may we use the thirst trap. May we weaken the enemy when he is thirsty, when he wants to get something from our lives. May we give the enemy something that's going to weaken him. But also, God, I pray, may we finish the enemy once and for all. May we end things that must be ended. Give us the grace, give us the courage, give us the bravery to do these things. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and we all said amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I pray that message blessed you. I pray that you were edified. I pray that you were strengthened. I pray that you were encouraged by the message, and that you will open your eyes. Continue to say the prayer to say, God, where is the enemy trying to hide? Where is the enemy trying to hide? I want to say this just before I close. You know, sometimes when the enemy shows himself in your life, it's not because the enemy is strong and is attacking you. Sometimes when the enemy shows himself in your family and in your life, it's because the God has already defeated him somewhere else, and he's trying to hide with you. So when the enemy shows himself and is trying to hide in your life, you must ask the enemy, or ask yourself, where did God beat the enemy before this? You must laugh at the enemy. When the enemy tries to shake your life, you must laugh and say, oh, you are here because you were beaten somewhere else. But hey, I know your hiding place. I'm going to fight where I am strong. I'm going to give you a thirst trap, and I am going to finish you in Jesus' name. I pray that you take this word. Don't just listen to it. Apply it. Again, if you think this would bless someone else's life, please share the message on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Share it with other people that they may be blessed too. Hey, if you're listening also on Instagram Live, thank you for tuning in. Remember, I don't save the Instagram Lives because it's on YouTube, and it's also in my Instagram bio. The link is in my Instagram bio. But thank you all so much for tuning in. All of you, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And I pray that I'm being a blessing in your life. That was the Jay McCopper Podcast, signing out with love. Take care. God bless you. See you next episode. Peace out. Thank you so much for listening to the Jay McCopper Podcast. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review, and also share it with all your loved ones and even the haters. Okay. Take care, guys.